Hello, this is Tara Gentile of TaraGentile.com and Scouty Girl, and today I'm taking a little divergence from my usual topics of conversation to cover something near and dear to my little heart, which is college students. And perhaps even more importantly, recent graduates of college. So I'm talking with Sarah Vaughn of the blog Yes and Yes, and Sarah is a writer, a traveler, and a charmer of all things lifestyle design. And she's also the creator of a brand new course called the Post-College Survival Kit, which, let me tell you, is something I so wish I had in 2004. So, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, gosh, thanks for having me.
Thanks. So before we get into this kind of deep chasm of post-college craziness, can you tell me a little bit more about what you do and why you're really passionate about college students?
Sure. Well, I'm a blogger, writer, adventurer. I write Yes and Yes, and I also do lots of copywriting on the side. And I think when I was in college, I'm an eldest child Virgo of Germanic heritage, so I'm like super retentive and a total overachiever. And so I did lots of internships, and I was really concerned about like what my life after college was going to be like. And even with all that work I put into it, it was still a struggle. Like, I didn't know how to consolidate loans. I didn't know what a 401k was. I didn't know how to negotiate a lease. I didn't know any of that. And none of my friends did either. And so we all spent, you know, 40, 50, 60 grand on bachelor's degrees that didn't, I mean, they made us good writers. They made us learn how to create and support an argument. And that sort of stuff, but we weren't really prepared for real life, and there were a few ugly years there with lots of struggling.
Yes, I am acutely familiar with that. And I have to say, I was kind of the complete opposite in college. I did not do all the different internships. I did not really even care what my life looked like after college. I was so kind of in the moment of college, and I just thought I would be a full-time student for the rest of my life. So your product is not, or your course is not only perfect for, I think, people like you said, but like I said, I just really wish I would have had it. So this conversation could like really quickly descend into everything that is wrong with the higher education system, sure, and how ill-prepared students might be for the quote-unquote real world. But I really want to start with something positive, and maybe we can keep it there for a while. So I'm curious, what assets do you have, or what assets do recent college graduates have that most students don't think about or really leverage?
I think most recent grads have two big aces up their sleeve, and one is the knowledge of technology and the internet. Like, when I graduated in 2002, like, I knew how to send email, I knew how to, like, use attachments, and use a digital camera. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much, like, par for the course. Like, I don't think Facebook existed, Twitter certainly didn't exist. Like, online networking, I'm not sure if that existed, but most of those things are completely par for the course with recent grads. Like, they know TweetDeck, they know Hootsuite, they know Twitter, maybe they've got a blog, they're on LinkedIn, like, they really know that stuff, and I'm not sure that they realize how, like, special that is.
Yeah.
And how, like, when they enter the workplace, a lot of their, like, older colleagues won't know that. So that's something that they're already, like, ahead of the curve on, that most of them just, they grew up with that. They know it. It's just kind of, I'm not sure if innate is the right term, but it's second nature to them.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, like, when our parents graduated from college, and to a certain extent, even when I graduated from college, there was the belief that I've got this career, like, I'm going to be a nurse, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to work in advertising. And we had the belief that, like, that is our career and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to be doing that until we retire. And with our parents, they certainly thought that they were going to be a teacher and they're going to work at this school for 30 years and then retire. But I think that new grads are much more flexible and they're much more realistic in their belief that they can work in lots of different fields. They can use their skills in lots of different ways. And I don't think they have any expectation that they're going to work at the same company for their whole life, or they're going to work in the same field for their whole life, which I think is really freeing and great if you realize that you're capable of those things.
Yeah. I think And again, like I said, I don't want to descend into negativity, but I also think that that flexibility can be somewhat overwhelming to graduates right now too, don't you think?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm good at writing. Oh my God, what can I do with that? Because there's a million things you can do with that.
Yeah, but there's tons and tons. And it's even easier to see all the different things that you can do now than it was 3 or 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So what did you, Sarah, do really right after graduating?
Well, I would say I did two things really right. One was that I did not rush directly into like super serious corporate world. Mm-hmm. After I graduated, I spent 3 months in Brazil teaching English, which was, I think, one of the best things that I've ever done because it really helped me realize what I was capable of as a human being. And living in a different culture really makes you look at your culture and look at this culture and think about like what's working for you in both of those cultures and what you need to really be happy. Because when you go from a developed country into a developing country, and you see that people are completely happy with significantly less than you thought that you needed to be happy, it's a really good reality check. So it was nice to go there and have that experience and kind of level myself out before I went back to America and started trying to like break into the corporate world. And then I think the other thing that I did, other grads could do this. It'll probably work for them. I got back and I went on switchboard.com and I searched Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I live, for any business with the word creative, either in the title of the company or in their description. And then I called every single one of them and asked them if they had internships.
Awesome.
Well, that's how I got my first job.
That's fantastic. And so resourceful and, well, creative.
Yeah. So I think that it's amazing how far initiative will get you. Even just that tiny, ridiculous initiative to, like, go to switchboard.com and do that, like, it worked.
Yeah.
So I think that just being, I hate to be cliche, but thinking slightly outside the box and taking initiative will get you really, really far.
Yeah, that's okay. Outside the box is my favorite cliche, and you're totally right.
Awesome.
So what would you have done a little differently after graduating?
I would say that I was completely terrified of my school loans. I was just like, I would get them in the mail and I would just, okay, whatever. Oh, and just like write the check and send them away immediately. Like, I didn't want to look at how much I owed. I didn't want to look at the interest rate. I didn't want to look at any of the information. It was just so overwhelming, like, to owe that amount of money. I just didn't deal with it at all. Like, I paid it off every month, but it took me probably 2 years to settle down enough to realize, you know, I don't have to be paying $350 a month. Like, I can change that payment. I can consolidate. I was just terrified of that stuff. And I wish that I would have known that ignoring things doesn't make them go away or make them any better. So if I could have just had the gumption to, like, settle down a little bit and read through the information from my loan providers, I could have saved a lot of money and stress.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I actually did kind of the opposite thing. I consolidated all my loans and I did not have the job really that I wanted to have out of college, and I didn't do all the other things that you did so right. But I figured, well, if I'm living at home and I've got this stupid job that at the least is sending me home a paycheck every week, I might as well pay extra on my student loans so that then by the time I got to be a brand new mom and I wanted to stay home and I wanted to try working on my own, I could then restructure all my loans so that I was paying the bare minimum on them. And it was a really nice cushion 5 years down the line. So, I just think that's interesting that we have completely opposite experiences with that. But, I think they're totally scary and overwhelming, just like you said.
Yeah, you're so brave that you, like, dealt with that. I was just completely terrified. I was like, I'd see all those commas and all those zeros, and I'd be like, oh, God, I'm just going to write a check and ignore it.
So I think, all of our college experiences are very different. And for me, that's that's a great thing about college. You can make your college experience what you want it to be. But at the same time, I know when I got out of school, looking back, I realized what all was available to me that I didn't take advantage of, or what all my professors or my administrator could have provided me with that they didn't. And I loved my college experience, but there were so many more things I really wanted to get out of it. My biggest regret is that I didn't travel abroad. I wish I would have done internships. All these different things, they were presented in different ways that they didn't seem like they applied to me. So I'm wondering what you see as kind of the number one thing most college students are missing from their experience, both kind of the college experience, but of the greater world as it is.
Well, I think that something that's really, really important for college, like if you're still currently in college, is to totally take advantage of study abroad options. And particularly, I know it's scary, but particularly if you can study abroad in a non-English speaking country, it is going to totally, totally change your life. And a lot of times, it's really hard after you graduate to find the time and the money to do long-term travel. Because, like, I do it, but that's because I built a life that accommodates it. But it's really hard to get time off of work, and a lot of American employers view it as a hole in your resume and that you're like a flight risk. So to do study abroad is just, it will change your life. It will change the way you look at your priorities, at the way you look at challenges, at the way you look at the things that you quote-unquote need and what you want. And it will make you, like, once you have negotiated a lease in Chinese, you can do anything. Once I did that, I was like, I'm unstoppable. I'm a force to be reckoned with. I can do this. Watch out, world.
Yeah, no, I mean, even not having that experience, I can see, for my friends that did study abroad, they had more doors open to them just by virtue of they knew they could go into a situation and figure it out. And, you know, here I am scared about booking a flight across the country. Like, this is ridiculous. I should be over these things by now. And especially when, you know, in college, you have so many opportunities available to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So according to a recent Gallup poll, most Americans believe that youth today won't reach the same standard of living as their parents. And I see this amongst my friends. I see this, you know, in the people I work with. They're, you know, they see these kind of ideals of what it means to have an American life, or to have a middle class life, or to have an upper middle class life. And, you know, with the way things are with the economy, with the way our college experiences are built, those things look like pipe dreams now. But then this idea of standard of living is kind of a totally arbitrary measurement. And so I'm really curious, what should college students concentrate on attaining for themselves, and how should they be measuring their life after college experience?
Well, this is where I give you a really cheesy answer. And I feel like the way for me to have a good standard of living, a high quality of life, and I think for most people, is if you can find the lifestyle that's right for you, that's a good standard of living. And what I mean is, if you can kind of peel away the expectations that you've been raised with, or that your family gave you, or that culture or society has given you, and really think about, like, what do you personally really, really want? What makes you happy? And if you can find a life that accommodates that, that's a fantastic quality of life. Like, right now, I'm 31. I sold all of my belongings, including my really crappy 1994 Ford Tempo. I live with roommates, and I live out of a backpack. And that's probably, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are like, oh my God, that sounds awful. But I'm so happy. I am so happy because this is the life that's right for me. It's not necessarily, like, prestigious. I'm not rolling in money, but I'm so happy with this life. Yeah. So I feel like I have a good quality of living, and anyone else who has consciously created a life that really works for them, I think would have a great standard of living. So if you can really think about what makes you happy. Is it working for yourself? Is it living in the country? Is it living in a big city? Is it having a job that contributes to the greater good? Is it having a job that makes a lot of money, and that's totally okay. That's totally okay. Is it, do you want to have a big family? All of those are completely valid. It's just about finding what's right for you, really sitting and thinking about what's right for you and what's going to make you happy.
Yeah, and I don't think that answer is cheesy at all. I think it's a completely new 21st century answer. I mean, not even 21st century, because people weren't saying that to me in 2004, and I'm betting they probably weren't saying it to you in 2002 either when you graduated. You know, I think we were presented with choices. You know, you were presented with choices as they came, and you didn't plan out this kind of lifestyle that you wanted for yourself. And maybe if other people were, nobody told me.
Certainly not.
You know, and so I was scared that choices, the choices that I wanted to make, were not coming to me. And I didn't realize that I had an opportunity to go out and plan for those choices, that I could go out and make choices before they even came to me. And so this idea of planning out your lifestyle and really thinking about your what you want, I think is still pretty revolutionary to the majority of American college students. And I think it's awesome that you are putting out, you know, a real image and game plan for that.
Yeah, I really think that it's so nice to hear that you're not alone and not wanting to do those things, because I felt like a total weirdo for wanting to like leave my job in marketing and move to Asia. Like everybody, not everybody, but a large portion of people in my life were like, "What are you doing walking away from that job?" And it was I moved in like 2004, so you know, there weren't heaps of blogs about travelers and minimalism, and I just felt like I was screaming into the wind and doing this weird thing that nobody else was doing. So I think it's really important that people know that you can build your life the way you want to, and other people are doing it too, and it's okay, and it's gratifying, and it's not scary.
Yeah, amen. So I'm going to finish up with a totally big picture crazy question. I want to know what your, since you've created this post-college survival kit, you are obviously passionate about college students and recent grads. So I want to know what your vision is for the world's youth as they grow up, or what your vision is for even just American college students as they grow up and as they become our next generation of leaders and makers and doers.
Gosh, well, I think I would love for every college student, or really just every young person, to be engaged, this is cheesy, engaged with the world around them, like thinking about how they can contribute, how they can help, what they can do with their personal skill set to contribute to the world. I hope that they're prepared for adult life, whether that's, you know, maybe in high school, if they have a class where they teach them how to balance their checkbooks and how to negotiate a lease, or if there are better courses at university teaching them how to network and write resumes, or, you know, if they take this course. And I really hope that somewhere, either through the internet or their family or society, that they are encouraged to take chances and do things that are, you know, slightly outside of their comfort zone and try new things and travel and take jobs that are interesting. Maybe not jobs that pay tons of money, but just they don't, their life isn't anymore about the straight and narrow and about a box and getting married at 22 and buying the house and having kids. And if you want to do that, that's totally okay, but you don't have to, and it's okay if you don't have to. It's about making your own life and making your own path.
Amen. Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for talking to me and talking to hopefully lots of recent college grads or almost college grads that are hopefully going to be listening. Or if not, for talking to my audience about things that I think we've all kind of wondered about, if other people were thinking about these same things and having similar experiences. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.